You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are diving into the fourth of the five safety play themes, and today it is rescue play. So as I mentioned last week with danger theme, with rescue play, sometimes those two go together. And rescue play is really kind of the retribution or the addressing of whatever negative scenario was already being processed. So when a child finally gets to the rescue play, that is typically an indication that they are healing and growing because it's solving the problem. It's putting themselves in the role of the solver of the situation, if you will. And so that is really important for them to believe that they can handle any situation. And rescue play is always a more positive tone than obviously the danger theme or something like that. So when we see rescue play in the playroom, it typically is there's a character that has been in danger and they are saved from that scenario. So they are actually rescued. Now, the rescuer can take on a lot of forms, obviously, right? So there's not just one way that things get rescued. So sometimes a doctor or a nurse will rescue someone that is dying from a medical issue. You might have a policeman that rescues a victim of the robber or the burglar or the bad guy. You might have someone who adopts an abandoned child or a lost animal, or someone who comes in and, you know, as a superhero, you know, super goose or whatever, comes in and rescues whatever with their superpowers. So there's all different ways that we have rescue play emerge, but in all scenarios, there has been someone in danger and they are saved and rescued from that dangerous situation. So what could this possibly mean for the child if we're seeing rescue play? So sometimes the child themselves feels that they are in some type of danger or dangerous situation, dangerous environment, dangerous mental state. Sometimes it's truly just anxiety and they just think everything is dangerous. So there's not actually a physical danger, but it's a mental danger for them. So when you have a child that feels that they are in some kind of danger, they are actually wanting to be rescued. So they will play out rescue play because they are basically rewriting their narrative. And we don't talk about that often, but that is one of the most amazing outcomes of the child-centered approach is kids are able to rewrite their story. And they can create different endings. They can create different scenarios and their narrative changes. And that equips them with the things that they need to handle situations in real life. So if they feel that they need to be rescued themselves, they'll play it out. That's one meaning. Second meaning is they might sometimes be showing, I'm trying to word this correctly because what I was about to say was not going to make sense. So they're actually trying to show you, the therapist, how they feel you are serving them. So let me unpack that because even that way wasn't very easy to understand. Essentially, the child sees you as the rescuer. So they are trying to show you that they feel that you are rescuing them or you have rescued them. So when a kid comes in, they have fears, they have worries, they have struggles, they have issues, they have problems, they have all of these things, right? And so they don't always understand why they're feeling better. They don't always understand exactly what is happening when they come in and play with you. They don't always have a clear understanding of the child-centered approach, but inevitably they do know that they feel better. They do know that their fears reduce. They do know that they don't feel that things are as dangerous, as scary, as overwhelming, as upheaved as they once were. So sometimes they're actually saying, you know, you I see you as a rescuer. You have rescued me. And that's a really special moment. When a child identifies that you are influential in their healing and their growth, that is something that they will never forget and you will never forget. I have kids. I'm going to go off on a small tangent for a second. On my desk, I have a paperclip that is sewn onto this little item. I don't really know how to describe it. I should take a picture and post it somewhere. But I had a client come in, and I have many, many, many stories of these, but this is the one that's just in my head because I see it on my desk every day. So I have a paperclip that's stuck on the top of my file holder, and it has a felt and embroidered. So it's like felt fabric and it's embroidered with the Wonder Woman icon, logo, symbol, whatever. And that doesn't seem like anything significant other than I must really like superheroes or something. I did write a chapter in a book about superheroes and child-centered play, but that's not why I have that. So I was sitting waiting for my client to show up, and my client shows up and she walks in, and I was actually seeing her and her twin sister, but this was one of the twin girls. She walked in and she handed me the paperclip with the Wonder Woman logo at the top. And she said, "I saw this in the store and I got this for you." And I said, "Oh my gosh, you thought of me in the store. That was so thoughtful. I really appreciate that." And she says, "But do you want to know why I thought of you and bought it for you?" And I'm like, "Well, sure, I'm wondering." And she says, "Because you work wonders, woman." And I will never, ever, I loved these twins. I loved them so much. But she had this sense of, "I don't really know what you did. I don't really know how it worked. I don't really know why I feel better, but you have worked wonders in my life." And that was a rescue for her, right? And I have it sitting on my desk. I see it every time I'm at my desk, and it makes me smile every time I look at it, because that's a kid's way of saying, "I feel like you were my rescuer." And so when we see rescue play, it can absolutely have that level of connection and meaning. So that's always very important. And then on the flip side, there is kind of a more negative turn to rescue play sometimes, and I want to make sure that you're aware of that. So sometimes if a child is playing out rescue theme and then the rescue does not take place. So, you know, they set up this scene where the rescue is supposed to unfold, and then they, for whatever reason, don't allow the rescue to take place. So, nope, they weren't rescued because whatever. Like, they'll create some reason why the rescue was foiled. That can actually indicate hopelessness and feelings that no one can help them. And so when you see that, they do not have the internal capacity to bring the rescue into their play yet. They don't feel like it's solvable. They don't feel like it's addressable. They don't feel that they have the coping skills, the resilience, the problem solving, the capacity to solve the problem yet. So what will happen is they will continue to set up rescue scenes and continue to have the danger scenes until they are able to actually have the rescue completed. So just because you see that, it's not a huge issue or a red flag or something that you need to really be concerned about. Just know that they're not ready yet and they need more time to get there. So if it is a failed or foiled rescue, there's kind of a helplessness and they don't feel like anything can help at that point yet. You typically see that earlier in therapy when they don't have the time and the skills built up yet to effectively address that. So there is your rescue play theme. As I mentioned last week, often coupled with the danger theme or good versus bad or some of those other themes that kind of lend themselves to a scenario where you would need a rescue. So thanks for being with me. Thank you for spending a little bit of your time with me each week. Reminder, childcenteredtraining.com is where you will find access to the registration page if you would like to sign up for my CEU course with Core Well. That will give you early bird pricing, and you'll be able to get one of those 50 seats for that training. That will be in January. And also, I still have inquiries coming in for my coaching program. So if you are interested in going deeper with me and becoming the most amazing child-centered play therapist that you can be, you can check out playtherapynow.com, and that has all kinds of information about the coaching options. We're actively tweaking those, so there'll be some new options soon. But with the end of the year and 3 holidays in a row and just a lot of craziness, travel, baseball season, blah, 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 we are actively trying to get that done, but it is taking a little bit longer. We're hoping that by next year, 2024, we'll be able to have some new options for you. But if you're interested, you can absolutely check it out. So childcenteredtraining.com, playtherapynow.com, and if you want to reach out to me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. I'm grateful for each and every one of you. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.